Bushun and in a way, Magani dug. Beshago benesia que indigo, mang and do dame, ga was a squadjime cog and doon jaba, ga mesqua wako cog, ninda, Elaine Fleming, nindishan and cos. Hello, all my relatives. My Ojibwe name translates to one thunderbird woman. And I'm with the Loon Clan. I'm a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe with the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. And I live in Cass Lake, Minnesota. We know it as Gamisqua Wakokog, the place where there were red cedar trees. So I am commonly called Elaine Fleming. But if you see me, call me up or text me. You could call me Beishiko Benisikwe if you like. I would appreciate that. And I welcome you to History of Leech Lake. So I just want to share some information about Flatmouth a second. You know, he was born in 1844. And so that was still the time of the removal era, which was 1830 to 1855. And he lived during the reservation era, 1855 to 1877. And then he lived and died during the assimilation era of 1871 to 1934. When Leech Lake, Winnebagoosish, and Cass Lake reservations were established, Flatmouth II was 11 years old. And of course, his father was Flatmouth I, Eshkebagekunsh, and one of our most renowned Ojibwe leaders in history. But Flatmouth II was also a leader. He rose to chieftainship in a non-traditional manner during the period in history when the nature of leadership changed. Flatmouth I was not a member of the Loon or Crane clan from which chiefs traditionally arose. Rather, Flatmouth was a member of the Pillager Band who were known for their bravery and warrior ways. The Pillagers were Ojibwe who were in the forefront of the movement west into the Minnesota Territory, pushing the Dakota out of places like Sandy Lake, Mille Lacs, Cass and Leech, and Red Lakes. Flatmouth I would rise to leadership because of the notoriety of his father, Yellow Hair, who was known as a medicine man. I said Yellow Hair practiced working with poisons. Flatmouth I was also established as leader because of his great oratory skills and involvement in many years with the Dakota with conflict, military conflict. Flatmouth I said he'd been involved in 25 battles with the Dakota. Flatmouth I would pass his chieftainship down to his son, Flatmouth II. Flatmouth II became a chief when his father died in 1861. So his first historical notice happened in the fall of 1862 when he went down to Gull Lake during the Hole in the Day Rebellion. Flatmouth II signed a peace agreement with Governor Alexander Ramsey in September. His importance grew in succeeding years, and by 1866 he was a noted speaker during a council at Leech Lake with Ojibwe agent Edwin Clark. According to a reporter, Flatmouth stepped forward and led off with the first speech. At the time, he would have been 22 years old. During his speech, he was described, quote, in his right hand, he held a scroll containing a copy of their treaty with the U.S. government. That would be the 1855 treaty. In speaking, he has a merit rare even amongst Indians, that of brevity. His words are few but to the point. In manner, he is graceful and in utterance fluent and forcible. In his last speech, raising his right hand toward heaven, he closed with the exclamation, quote, the great Father of Light hears what I say, end quote. The first crisis Flatmouth II faced was when Holin, the day the Junker was assassinated by pillagers from Leech Lake. The government wanted the pillagers given up to the authorities. In October, Special Agent A. Job arrived at Leech Lake for a council. Job commented that control of the band had passed into the hands of young men, but Flatmouth, a young chief, did most of the talking. Flatmouth ignored the issue at non-compliance of treaty promises. No. Flatmouth ignored the issue at hand turning in the suspected murderers of Holin the Day the Younger, and he chose to talk about the non-compliance of treaty promises, the building of houses and annuity payments. Flatmouth said that the agent did not listen to the demands of the Ojibwe. Job said that Flatmouth and the other chiefs did not have the moral strength to bring Holin the Day's murderers to justice and have them punished. Flatmouth II distrusted the Indian agents and chose to establish a relationship with Bishop Whipple as a friend and political ally, although he never converted to Christianity. In 1877, there was disastrous locust plagues, and Flatmouth II wrote, quote, "My people are starving and freezing, and no work is being done for us. We received at our annual payment a very few goods, and our children are consequently suffering. Within the last 2 or 3 years, the administration of our affairs here have been such as to show no improvement," end quote. That October, the hungry pillagers broke into the government warehouse. It was said that an Indian police force had been established, and so chiefs refused to restrain their young men from breaking into the warehouse. Trader George Bonga reported to Bishop Whipple that the pillagers had killed the government cattle and taken government goods, and he feared that there would be an outbreak. Whipple, who had been in Washington at the time, went to Leech Lake and asked for a council. Flatmouth defiantly told him, "I suppose you came to ask who killed the government cattle and who took the government goods. My young men did it by my authority. Do you want to know why? Our pine land has been sold without our consent. We have been robbed. We shall suffer no more. Our shadows rest on our graves," end quote. In 1880, Flatmouth the second made a trip to St. Paul in regard to the Treaty of 1847, which his father had signed. The pillagers had lent approximately 1 million acres of land in central Minnesota. Well, it was 700,000 acres of land in central Minnesota for a reservation for the Menominee. It was thought that this new reservation would be a buffer zone between the Dakota and Ojibwe peoples and help to establish peace between the long warring nations. The Menominee didn't want to live there, though, and returned to their reservations in Wisconsin. The 700,000 acres along the Leaf River was then thrown open to settlement. The pillagers in the area then had to contend with relationships with the frontier border. The pillagers had a moral claim to the land, which was to remain in the hands of Anishinaabe people. Flatmouth, in his 1880 trip to St. Paul, asked for compensation for the land. Ironically, in 1884, the government paid $242,686 to the Menominees for the land, and the pillagers received nothing more. Flatmouth II also experienced historical controversy with the dams that would be built on Leech Lake. The dam controversy gave rise not only to factionalism, but also an assassination plot against Flatmouth. Around 1885, Flatmouth would leave Leech Lake and move 175 miles north to the Lake of the Woods in southwestern Ontario and life at Rat Portage, just north of Kenora. Flatmouth was not present when the Northwest Commission came to Leech Lake in 1886 to talk about Ojibwe consolidation on the White Earth Reservation established in 1867. He was also not present when the Rice Commission came to Leech Lake to ask the Ojibwe to agree to the 1887 Dawes-Lotman Act. His sister Ruth signed the 1889 Nelson agreement and flat mouth. And flat mouth the second's absence. So that's just a little history to share about flat mouth the second, Chief Flat Mouth the second. Mi gwech bisandawi yeg. Thank you all for listening. Mi you.